Every time I turn on my MacBook, I see the same notification over and over again. Upgrade to this, upgrade to that. I don't dispute it. I don't say no. I let it do its thing, right? I let it go. And if it wants to update tonight, it can. And for some reason, Apple products just don't fucking do that, right? Like, I saw a tweet the other day that reminded me of my own computer, my phone, where it's basically saying, now, it'll upgrade tonight over Wi-Fi if it's connected, you know, to the wallet. And you wake up and nothing happened. And it's like, oh, I couldn't update. Why? You know, what's fucking with it? Anyway, welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast, where I have an update on my Twitter, because I was mentioning it earlier. Last week, I mentioned that I was kind of tired of Twitter Blue, and I finally unsubbed. Here's the thing. I don't see a difference? Like, was there supposed to be a massive difference? I unsubbed from it, but I still have a Twitter. But now I have actual accounts talking to me as opposed to a bunch of bot accounts. I never realized how many bot accounts I attracted. What the hell's up with Twitter Blue? Anyway. So there's a few updates that I want to give you guys. Number one, we no longer have Twitter Blue, so if you no longer see my checkmark, I caved in. I got tired of Twitter Blue and all of its bullshit. I mostly got tired of Elon Musk, like, to be honest. I don't know how to explain how annoying I find the guy, but, like, it's not worth it to give him any more money in the slightest. You know what I mean? Like, just don't, okay? Don't give them any more money than they need. Anyway, welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast, where I actually have a lot of stuff that have been updating behind the scenes. I can't go into too much detail right now, but I do gotta say one thing. There might be some episodes either late or that don't upload on Friday. I'm not saying that as a guarantee. I'm gonna try to be as consistent as possible, but in the background, I'm doing quite a bit, okay? I can't say this exactly yet, but next episode. Again, I don't know how to explain what's going on. Fine, I'll just say it. A new employer, you know, time to put up my bootstraps, time to learn a new skill, so to speak. Anyway, I've actually been updating people a lot on my Instagram about something. Excuse me, I've had stomach problems all week. If I sound different, I'm kind of tired, but I'm updating people on my Instagram because of a specific thing. I have gone a little more, what is it, creative with my paintings. And I've learned a bit more skills, different skills that I didn't know before. I've been doing a bunch of online courses, free ones anyway. And I've learned that some of the techniques that I've learned years ago are just not applicable to certain styles that I've been trying to do. So what I ended up doing was trying to unlearn what I learned and learning a new style. And that's exactly how I ended up with a painting that I've never done before. And like the amount of skill that it took was minimal, but it looks amazing. And I don't know how to explain it, right? It's just a grassy hill with some clouds over it. But the thing is, I don't know what I'm missing. I do think there's something called a focal point, which I don't know too much about. But it definitely needs it, because it's just an empty field with grass. And I don't know. I'm proud of it. I'm actually quite proud of how it looks. I feel like I've gone up a tier. But, you know, we're going up higher. And, damn, what else was I thinking about? You know what? I was thinking about this this week specifically. I got to play some music on my car. And I noticed one thing. There is a growing trend of people listening to Rammstein again. The thing is, it's awesome to me because I absolutely love Rammstein. Growing up, I've always listened to their music, right? I discovered them when I was in high school. But my love for them is kind of like, it goes up and down. It comes and goes, right? In waves. The thing about Rammstein you gotta understand is that they're incredibly elaborate with their live shows. I think the closest approximation that I could think is Van Halen, where they'd go crazy and they'd have thousands of lights. And it was, you know, absolutely a spectacle to behold. They spent a lot of money on their shows, but having said that, you know, it's a different genre entirely. You know, Rammstein versus Van Halen. Van Halen is heavy metal. Rammstein is industrial metal, which is more rhythm-based. There is a difference, but it's hard to explain. It's easier to show side by side, you know? Like, there's no elaborate solos in Rammstein's music. They keep it simple. And because of that, they attract a much wider variety of audience. Of course, if you don't speak German, it doesn't matter. Like, they're just so universally liked. Especially the song Sauna, which, No, it's not a sauna that you walk into. It's S-O-N-N-E. It's really popular right now, but I don't like why it's popular. I don't like why it's popular because it's popular with those edits where it's like a Sigma male edit where it's like, grind for whatever you want. It's like a really buff dude at the gym with like a black overlay and it's just, here come the sun in the background. Like, I like the song. Don't fucking ruin Ramstein for me, okay? I'm asking you politely. You Sigma male losers. I'm kidding. If you're a Sigma male, you know what? I don't know. Fuck this. It's time I put my foot down. I don't like the Sigma male edits. I don't care for those types of people, right? There's no point for that. Just be yourself. That's it. That's how you gotta be. Anyway, my love for Ramstein goes back a long time, right? But the thing about it is, it's led to some choices in my life that I don't know. I don't know if I'd classify them as good or bad. Basically, I listened to Ramstein back when I first had my gym membership, and I worked in a laboratory where every day after work, I just go to the gym and I just lift weights listening to Ramstein. It was a good and simple life, right? The problem is it was a temporary gig, but damn, my love for Ramstein grew that entire year, you know? Like, not only was it a part of my routine daily, I lost a lot of weight, I gained a lot of muscle. I've lost it since. I'm really chubby now. I'm a big boy, big chubby boy. But my girl loves it. That's nice. Anyway, Ramstein I would listen to, and the rhythm-based music was just nice. But more than anything, I stayed up to lore with the band, where Till Lindemann went off and he did his own thing. He has that song, Steh Auf. That song's really good. Like, that song's more motivating than any speech you've ever heard by any dictator or person of interest. Ramstein, for me, is interesting. But at the same time, I don't know if it's everyone's cup of tea. I say that, right? But I don't know if I'm right on that as well. You know, everyone's cup of tea is probably Ramstein. They've sold out the fucking Madison Square Garden in less than a few hours. Like, genuinely really impressive how much people like Ramstein and just don't talk about it, you know? Like, Ramstein is up there with, like, Michael Jackson. I'm really putting him that high, but not here in the U.S., okay? Like, other parts of the world, you know what I mean? Like, they had a show, I think, 2 years ago. I was thinking of going, but then I saw the price, and then I thought, it's expensive. But, like, all concerts are that expensive, man. Like, I'm just broke, that's all. Every concert seems really expensive. In fact, the other day, when we were in Las Vegas, we heard Adele was in the building, and we noticed that it was, for the cheapest, $800 to go see her. That's a lot of money. But so many people went in, you know, make her way richer. Way, way richer. Good for her. That's the music industry, you know what I mean? Like, the more notoriety you get, the more expensive you're supposed to be. But, like, I don't know. It sucks for people who don't have the funds for it or the time. Like, you could still listen to them, right? But that's not where the money is. The money is in the shows, the record deals, the licensing of the music. I've learned that, right? I've learned about the death clause. We talked about the music industry and how most of the money comes from licensing. How Michael Jackson was worth like 10 times more after he died, but it was only worth it to the recording company who signed him on in the first place, right? That is a lot of money going to people that you've never even heard of just because they own the rights to it. The rights to something is incredibly lucrative, okay? If something is popular, everyone's going to use it, right? Think about that. That's, I don't know. Random off-topic tidbit. I made a t-shirt not too long ago. My little brother saw a meme. Me and my little brother saw this meme, okay? It was the Gyro Sushi meme. Where it's got a wolf just, like, ripping out of its clothes. It's just Gyro Sushi and, like, really low-quality text. I thought it was funny as hell. My little brother thought it was funny as hell. And so we decided to make it into a shirt. You know what's funny, right, is that in previous episodes of the podcast, I'm talking years ago, when I had my little brother on, we referred to him as Quiet Boy Lucky because he had a YouTube channel. And it seems like he no longer does it, which, you know, that's a shame, but, you know, some people grow out of it, others don't. Me, personally, I want to mention this, okay? My old YouTube videos are coming up. Some of them are in the spotlight yet again. The reason I say that is because these videos are weird. Period. The reason I made them, too, wasn't to make a statement of any kind. There was one that I made called Modern Art, the whole point of it was to make fun of modern art, art in the modern world, because people don't try, you know? It was me getting some glue on an old desk and pouring marbles on it, like little tiny beads, like from a BB gun, like a steel BB gun. That's it. That was the whole video. And it garnered a small amount of views, and along with people who were actually watching the rest of my channel. This was 10 years ago. I was young, okay? I've since grown, but at the same time, it did get my foot in the door making videos. That's kind of the reason I started doing it, is because I thought, if I never upload, you know, I'll never upload, period. So I thought, what's the worst I can make? And that's what I uploaded. I uploaded the most low quality, low tier, low effort type of videos, where I would, and this was one of them, right? Where I made a bold, like quote unquote bold filmmaking, and it's me making eggs. I brought it back. I privated a lot of these videos, but I brought some back up. If there is interest in them, I'll bring them out, right? Because a lot of people started watching them. And it's only after the recent videos I've been making. Because the recent videos I've been making, I have a 4K camera. I take time to edit the videos. I voice over them with a really high-end microphone. I got a fucking MacBook that I edit everything on. And that's what I've been doing, right? But back then, I had a Chromebook with very little space. I knew nothing about video editing. I knew nothing about software, but I knew one thing. I knew that I fucked up starting on that thing because it would overheat incredibly quickly and I couldn't upload, okay? My internet was worse back then. It's bad now, but it was worse back then. I tried everything on that thing. I couldn't game. I couldn't do anything. And for some reason, I thought, what's the best I could do, right? It was my first computer. It was only $120. It was dirt cheap, right? Incredibly dirt cheap. This Mac was $2,000. Well, a little less. $1,800? Something like that. It was really cheap. But back then, right, there was something I did that kind of impressed myself. With this original computer, which wasn't that high-powered or anything, right? I made a book. I wrote a book on that thing. That's the one thing that I could do, because I could write, and it would save it on the Google Doc, and I worked on that. 100 pages, and it's out there on Amazon. And then I made another one. That's when I got a taste for creativity, and that's what I started doing. Why the fuck am I talking about that? Anyway, I made these old videos, and there was no voiceover, random spots that I started recording, and I gave them the title, Bold Filmmaking Episode This, Bold Filmmaking Episode That. They fucking sucked. I'm glad they didn't get views, because I don't know what I was on back then. I genuinely have no idea, right? But it was stupid. It was really stupid. I'm glad they didn't pick up, because imagine if I hated art students and I became one, you know? Kind of what's happening now, actually. I got paintings all over my fucking room. Oh my god, I'm an art student. Why is it considered a student if I'm... I don't know, man. Look, that's not what I meant. I think I meant filmography. What's the term when you're making movies? Weird videos? Filmography. Whatever. Let's call it what it is. Being weird for the sake of weird. Modern art. There we go. I have something that I want to bring up while I'm here on the topic. There was another content creator. I forget his name. Paris Campos on YouTube. He's got 267. Yeah, 267 subs. And he recently did a video where he reviewed a book that he read. I thought that was a great idea. Why not? So I decided to do the same thing. I pulled out some books from my little thing here, and I decided to not give it an in-depth review. Don't get me wrong, but I guess I want to get my take on them, like if we should read them or not. Number one, A Hangman's Diary, The Journey of Master Franz Schmidt, Public Executioner of Nuremberg from 1573 to 1617. Genuinely a good book. Skip half of it. Because the first half is, for some reason, an entire fucking history lesson, right? You don't want to read that. You want to read somebody's diary. And it's genuinely a hangman's diary. An executioner's diary. Along with images of him actually... Not images. Drawings of him actually doing the executions. It is a sick-ass book. If you like history, you'll love that one. But if you don't, and you're more into lighthearted tales, I have another one. It's Pierrot Mon Ami. Pierrot Mon Ami. By Raymond Cunado. Okay, Raymond Q Q-U-E-N-E-A-U. Quinoa? Quinoa, I don't know. It's a good book, honestly. It's from the French literature series, translated with a preface by Barbara Wright, afterwards by Inez Hedges. It's a good book. I liked it, right? It's a work of fiction, sure, but it's a lighthearted tale about a little clown. And I don't know, it stuck with me. Look how much it stuck with me, okay? The stories of Pierrot the Clown have stuck with me so much that I got him tattooed on my left arm. I don't have many tattoos. He's the biggest, most expensive one I got. That should tell you a lot, okay? With a gesture on the moon, but still, sick as fuck. I might get another tattoo on my left arm. That reminds me, if you have any tattoo recommendations, let me know. Hit me up on Instagram, actually. I have a lot of, I have dead DMs now. Like, the other day, I was going through my DMs on Instagram, and it was just page after page of Instagram user with no image, right? Like, they're gone. They're gone. Shit sucks, though, because it's like, I'll actually click them and I'll read the conversations and it's like, oh, we were good friends. Like, I don't know who you were anymore, but like, we were good friends when I was talking to you. A lot of dead emails. Oh, well, it's fine. I had an idea, okay? And I had one that I'm glad it clicked into my head right now because me and my girlfriend were at the store the other day. We saw this wine that we really liked. We liked the design of the bottle. Dacchino Chianti, right? It looked like a beautiful bottle. I absolutely loved it. It had childbearing hips and everything, right? It's just, it got me thinking, right? It got the gears turning. The old rusty gears were turning. Previous episodes, I've read Wikipedia about stuff that we were interested in, right? And I thought, why don't we do that about wine, like in general? We've done wine reviews. Sure, we haven't done it in a while, but we still have the top tier, Oliver, and we have the other one, Francis Coppola is honestly one of the highest ones right now. I never knew Francis Coppola was actually the guy who made The Godfather, which is, I'm embarrassed I didn't know that because I'm a big fan of the movies, right? I was a huge mobster guy, right? I'm a big fan of it. Maybe I'll do movie reviews one day. But why don't we open Wikipedia and read the article about wine, okay? And I am open about the fact that I'm reading Wikipedia. I'm not like other people that read sources and don't credit them. I am crediting wikipedia.com/wine, okay? There. H Bomber guy, don't fucking come after me like you did an internet historian, man. Low blow right there, low blow. Anyway, wine is an alcoholic drink made from fermented fruit. Yeast consumes the sugar in the fruits and converts it into ethanol and carbon dioxide. That makes the bubbly sound, you know, releasing heat in the process. I actually didn't know that part. But it does release ethanol and carbon dioxide. Ethanol is the actual alcohol stuff that gets you drunk. And the more there is in a beverage, the stronger it is, you know? Like, higher proof beverages would be like a tequila or a vodka. Or even Everclear, which is just 99% ethanol, okay? That's incredibly powerful. One shot, it'll probably put you in the hospital. Okay. The wine can be made from a variety of fruit crops such as plum, cherry, pomegranate, blueberry, currant, and elderberry. It is most often made with grapes, and the term wine generally refers to grape wine when used without a qualifier. So, if you hear the term wine, but they don't specify what kind, it's gonna be grape wine. Unless they specify plum wine, cherry wine, blueberry wine, currant wine, pomegranate wine, elderberry wine, they gotta specify, okay? What the hell? I trailed off, my bad. I was reading ahead. The country of origin is actually Georgian. I did not know that. The ingredients for wine are varied by so much that there's so many ingredients you can make it out of, right? We already discussed previously, it's basically the juice of the fermented juice of these previous mentioned fruits. Basically, if you can get the juice out of a fruit, mix it with a bit of yeast, brewer's yeast preferably, and you let it sit somewhere in a controlled temperature, you're good, right? That over time you'll get ethanol, and that's what wine is. Will it be good wine? I don't know. I've made wine on my own. I can tell you right now, it's not easy, but you can do it. It's easy to do it. It's not easy to make it properly well. You know what I mean? Like, aging the wine for me took forever, and I made one good bottle, and my cousin fucking downed it. So I know it was good. Variants. The variants of wine are red wine, there's white wine, there's rosé, there's orange wine. I didn't know that one. So there's sparkling wine, and then there's dessert wines. Dessert wines are among my favorite. Red and dessert wines are my favorite. It's funny seeing these types of variants, right? There's actually a bit more. There's also an Old Vine Zinfandel, which is the cheap but good ones. It's hard to explain. Basically, you get wine from grapes that are from a vine that is very old. That's why it's Old Vine Zinfandel. The vine itself is very aged. It's nearing the end of its life cycle, right? Because fruits can only be produced by a plant so many times before the plant inevitably dies. It's a living thing. It reaches the end. An old vine would be wine, right? The grapes of the wine, or the grapes of the vine, my bad. I'm getting these two words mixed. The grapes of the vine are old. They're from an old vine. You get it. You get it. Okay. Basically, it's going to be put out to stud eventually. Different varieties of grapes and strains of yeast are a major factor in different styles of wine. These differences result from the complex interactions. Wow, I'm tired. Between the biochemical development of the grape, the reactions involved in fermentation, the grape's growing environment, or the terroir, and the wine production process. See, it's a lot of variants for different flavors. At the end of the day, I'm going to be blunt, a lot of wines taste the same, you know? Like, there's slight variations, but at the end, it's old grape juice, period. Congratulations, we haven't really aged, have we? Many countries enact legal... Wow, that's a big word. Appellations, intended to define styles and qualities of wine. These typically restrict the geographical origin permitted of and permitted varieties of grapes, as well as other aspects of wine production. Again, this is all Wikipedia, okay? Oh, there it is. Okay. Finally, the history. Wine has been produced for thousands of years. The earliest evidence of wine is from present-day Georgia in 6000 BC, Persia 5000 BC, Italy and Armenia 4000 BC. I always thought Italy, but no, Georgia. New World wine has some connection to alcoholic beverages made by the indigenous peoples of the Americas, but is mainly connected to later Spanish traditions in New Spain. Later, as Old World wine further developed viticulture techniques, Europe would encompass three of the largest wine-producing regions. Today, based on statistics gathered by the International Organizations of Vine and Wine, or the OIV, in 2022, the top five wine-producing countries are Italy, France, Spain, the United States, and Australia. I did not know Australia made wine. That's genuinely interesting to me. And I think I know what it is. It's the green grapes. You know, what is it called? Cabernet Sauvignon? I remember that now. I've had Australian wine once. It was very bitter. Very bitter. Let's skip forward, actually. There's a lot of stuff here. There we go. Types of wine. Let's go further in. I'd go into the history of wine, but that's basically the history of mankind. Wine and mankind have gone hand to hand. Wine is mentioned in the Bible. It's even a miracle that Jesus in the Bible made wine. You know, that's how encultured it is, okay? If you're a wine connoisseur, you're not an alcoholic. You're a wine connoisseur. Wine types. The fuck am I on? Red wine made from blue... What the fuck? I did not know that. White wines, I'm tired. Wine types, red wine made from blue grapes with skins. White wine made with green grapes or destemmed blue grapes. Destemmed, really? Rosé wine is made from blue grapes, where the skins are sorted from early in the fermentation process, or rosé wine can also be made from rosé wine grape varieties. My lips need to be, I'm kind of thirsty, can you tell my voice? Orange wine made from white wine grapes, where the grape skins are not removed. Sparkling wine, made from both green and blue grapes. Champagne is made from Pinot Noir grapes. Pinot Meunier and Chardonnay around Reims. Fortified wine, wine with a higher alcohol content than the other types. Fortified wine is an interesting one, right? Because when you think of wines that are like high end, you think of red wine, white wine, Chardonnays, you think of these, right? Orange wines, rosés, orange wines, sparkling wines, champagnes. You think of the higher ones, right? The further down the list I go, the more I realize these are like, when you have a wino, like someone who drinks wine just to get drunk, this would be the lower ends. Fortified wine is associated with like boxed wine. If if you want to think about like different kinds of wine that think of it like this, they added more alcohol to it or they left it to ferment far longer. The reason wine normally has a lower ABV is because you want the flavor of the grape, right? Yeah, it's got a bit of alcohol in it, but you want to taste the grape too. You want a good mixture. It's a fine balance, and it's an art form, really. Anyway, ice wine. Wine with a characteristically sweet taste and low alcohol content. I actually know these. Ice wine would be like Oliver Sweet Red. It's a sweet red wine, but it's sweet because it's lower in alcohol. Okay? The reason that... let me put it this way. The reason wine would be sweeter because it's lower in alcohol is because the yeast did not eat as much of the sugar. It ate some of it, not all of it. And here's another trick. If the wine has no sugar in it because the yeast ate it all, it is a dry wine. D-R-I-E. I keep having to pause because I have the most gut-wrenching burps. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's not good. It's not healthy. It sounds like I swallowed gum. But no, that's not it, I swear. Dessert wines are sweet wines that are typically served with a dessert. I always thought dessert wines were really sweet wines. That's it. Like, I didn't know there was a difference. This is something you're learning with me right now, okay? That's fucking cool. The types have such different properties that in practice, they are considered different drinks. Like, it's all made in the same process, but with how much variety there is in between them, they're considered a different beverage entirely. It could be made from the same grape, but so different at the end that you wouldn't realize. Seriously, leaving the skin on a grape makes a massive difference because that's how you get the bite to it, you know? You know when you're eating grapes and you feel like part of your mouth gets a little dry? That's called the bite. It's a chemical reaction with your mouth. Why am I so into wine? It's weird. I don't know how to explain it. I think it's because we have a history in my family with alcohol. Not like alcoholics, but like my grandpa worked for... I'm not going to specify, a very famous distiller that made tequila. He was the one, what was it called? There was a term for them. The guys with the big blades. I'm embarrassed to admit, I didn't remember the name. It's a jimador. And if you don't know what a jimador is, whenever you drink tequila, they're made of these plants, the agave. A jimador would have their masterful aim, right? They would get the blades off of the agave plant in a perfect way so that the center could be cooked and the sugars and the juices would slowly come out in the fibers of the agave. Try to explain. There's a video on how it's made, the tequila episode. Watch it. In the beginning, you're going to see guys with really big round blades. I had family who used to do that in the old country. And it's kind of cool seeing that, right? It's like when an Italian says, you know, like, my family used to make wine back in the old country. It's the same way with me, right? The difference is, instead of wine, they made tequila, right? So, much, much stronger drink. The thing is, I'm not into stronger spirits just because I'm more aware of the addictive properties of alcohol, right? There's always that inherent danger, right? I just got over, you know, my nicotine addiction. I got over it a year now, like, a year clean, and I don't want to go back. But I know because of that, right? Because of that one experience, I know the power of addiction, right? And it's not just that. There's all kinds of addictions. If you're addicted to caffeine like me, that one's more culturally accepted because when you're on caffeine, at least you're known to be more stimulated, which try getting off the stuff. When I was several days off of caffeine, I didn't have a headache. I vomited. I had withdrawal symptoms. I looked it up. The worst withdrawal symptoms I've ever had. I thought I was dying. I thought I had been poisoned, food poisoning. Luckily, it wasn't that. And I just noticed the time. Hey, you know what? We got time for one more. Health effects of wine. See, this one is interesting to me, right? The health effects of wine have been disputed over time. This isn't on the Wikipedia. I'm telling you this from experience. I've seen it over and over again. People have said it's good for you. People have said it's bad for you. Here we go. The main active ingredient of wine is ethanol. 2016 systematic review and meta-analysis found that moderate ethanol consumption brought no mortality benefit compared to lifetime abstention from ethanol consumption. So if you drink a little bit of wine every now and then, you're fine, right? A systematic analysis of data from the Global Burden of Disease study found that consumption of ethanol increases the risk of cancer and increases the risk of all-cause mortality. And that the most healthful dose of ethanol is zero consumption. Never mind. My bad. Ignore what I said. Oh, I didn't know it's the time. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meat Weed Podcast. I will get back to you guys on next week. I do hope that this thing that I'm doing in this new job, okay, I'll admit, I got a new job, okay? I got a new job. I hope it doesn't get too much in the way of the podcast. Honestly, I'd rather focus on my work because I'm trying to provide, you know, I'm trying to get out of debt and I'm trying to have a good, steady job. Anyway, link tree is in the description. Be sure to, I barely have time to upload this. You know what? Go on my YouTube channel, go on every comment, go on every video and comment something dumb. I'm serious. Go on every YouTube video, Meat Weed Podcast on YouTube. Comment something dumb on every video. Watch it for 30 seconds. That'll give me views. All right, cool. See you guys next week. Bye.